Welcome to the Leader Formation Podcast, where we're changing the way leaders are formed, from what they do with their hands to what God is doing in their hearts.
This is Bill Lawrence, president of Leader Formation, and I want to say today that leaders live a life of constant inadequacy. You must do what you cannot do with what you do not have for the rest of your lives. Have you ever thought about that? I'm sure you have. If you're a leader, follower, you have certainly discovered that. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you know that he makes demands of us that we cannot possibly meet. And that's very confusing for us because we start out thinking that we can do what Jesus wants us to do. And then when we take off, it's just like anybody else. Somebody tells us something to do, we can do it, so we go do it. But when we try to do that with the Lord, we rapidly begin to discover, I can't do this. So how do we respond as a result? Well, we try to get it under control. Many times we reduce the standard to something we can do, but it's obvious he's not satisfied with that. He wants us to understand that we can never do what he wants us to do because we don't have the resources, and that's never going to change. As leaders, we get training. We read. We go to workshops. We go to seminars. Maybe we get degrees and college degrees or go beyond. Maybe we take special training. But at the end of the day, we begin to realize this is helpful. I've benefited from it. I'm better in certain skills than I was before, but I'm still inadequate. So what do? We join with the Apostle Paul in his amazing question in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the end of verse 16. When he said, who is adequate for these things? We recognize with him. You know, I don't know if you realize this. We're used to the Apostle Paul as being the hero, the successful person who goes undaunted, who never, ever was touched by anything. That's simply not true. That's simply not true. In Colossians 4, he asked for prayer because he couldn't move forward without prayer. In Philippians, he writes to thank the people from that ancient city of Philippi, to thank them because they had provided him with funds so he could eat. But he said, I've learned to be content whether I have nothing or whether I have a lot. I'm content. That's not something he started out thinking. That's something he learned as he lived with his own limitations. But in this passage, in 2 Corinthians 2, he's also living with limitation because he's just described God's triumph as life unto life, death unto death, life unto life. And he says to us, we are the yes-no line of our generation. Our lives, our moral commitment, our ethical standards require people to make a decision. They either require people to say yes or they require people to say no. Yes to Christ or no to Christ. But we are always cutting our way through our generation without being understood and often being rejected. And leader and follower alike faces this issue. We are the yes-no line of our time. We hold to absolute morals. We hold to standards that cannot be adjusted or changed. So we live in a society that rejects that. In our society, everything is being turned into a vote. It's a democracy. And so moral absolutes are no longer absolutes. It's what the people say they are. It's what the people want. The people vote for immorality. So immorality is now moral. And when we stand up and say, wait a minute, that's not true at all. Immorality is still immoral. The people look at us and say, who are you? You're intolerant. You don't accept other people. You expect us to change to meet your standards. No, we try to say. It's not our standards that we are trying to enforce. These are the standards of God who knows what's best about life. These are the standards of God who knows that a pure life is the best life. These are the standards who know of God who knows what real love is. These are the standards of the God who sacrificed himself and his son for our sake. These are not our standards. We didn't make them up. We didn't create them. They come from God himself. And as leaders, we must lead people who live in a society that rejects everything we stand for and believe in. Some of you around the world are facing real life and death. Some of you around the world live in cultures where your commitment to Christ is very much a minority commitment, where your very life is being online, where there are those who want to take your life, those who want to take your children, those who want to deny your freedom to worship, those who want to destroy your place of worship, those who come in and plow down your building because they don't believe in what you are saying. You live there. You know what this is like. So what we have to understand is this. As leaders and followers, we live a life of constant inadequacy. Yes, you can gain more skills, of course. Yes, you can get greater knowledge, of course. Yes, you can understand structure and organization better than you have in the past. Yes, you can reorganize and redirect and clarify your vision and express your mission and understand your values. All of that is good. Every bit of that is good. It helps you gain more focus. It helps you attract people who want your kind of focus. But at the end of the day, none of that will enable you to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. None of that will enable you to accomplish what Christ calls you to. Paul himself, as he wrote about God's triumph, and as he described us as the yes-no line of our generation, Paul said, who is adequate for this? Who is adequate to be rejected? Who is adequate to be judged? Not one of us is adequate. And that inadequacy is a constant reality in your life. Because you see, we live lives of constant inadequacy, yet we cannot pull back.
Thanks for listening. Tell us your thoughts about our podcast on our Leader Formation Facebook page. You can find more resources at leaderformation.org, where we're changing the way leaders are formed, from what they do with their hands to what God is doing in their hearts.